Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome. Tonight we're going to talk about something very special that the Lord put in my heart. He wants to talk about healing, but He wants His children to know that He wants you healed. He wants you to walk in divine health all the days of your life. And the reason God wants you in divine health, He loves you. He cares about you. God does not want His children in pain. He doesn't like when they're under attack. And one of the things that the enemy does is to try to make you feel like when you're battling something, the enemy tries to make you think maybe God has done it to you, or maybe God's mad at you, or maybe you're out of God's will. So I want to go over some points, and I will do a lot of reading tonight. So excuse me for using my notes, but God gave me a lot of downloads and a lot of scriptures that we're going to put into our belt of truth, okay? So a couple of points I want to make tonight. One is, if you don't know that the will of God for you is good health, you won't fight for it. You may accept it as being from the Lord, sickness, but it's not. Sickness is not from the Lord. The Lord doesn't have sickness to give you. Sickness came from the enemy's kingdom. Sickness was birthed in the bowels of hell. Sickness is tied to the enemy's darkness, and the enemy desires sickness for God's kids. So if you understand that, you will fight it rather than growing, feeling weak or feeling like maybe, oh, did God do this to me? No, God did not and would not. God doesn't think that way. So if you don't know the will of God, you won't fight against sickness. Number two, if you don't know the will of God, you may grow faint and turn to just begging God to heal you, begging God to heal you. And as we go through the scriptures, you'll see why that's not as effective as fighting the sickness as you would fight the devil, like with the scriptures, okay? And you'll see why as we go through the scriptures. And if you know that God wants you well and healed, it becomes much more easy to pray with faith. And remember, the woman with the issue of blood, when she pulled that healing from Jesus. She said, if I could just touch the hem of His garments, I would be made whole. Jesus didn't even know she was in the crowd. And she pulled that sickness from Him, and He felt the virtue flow and said, who touched me? The disciples said, Lord, people are thronging you. The crowds are pressing against you. Everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched you? But He knew that virtue had been pulled out of Him. He could feel it. You know, when you walk in an anointing, you can feel when the anointing goes through you. You can feel the flow of the river, and you can feel what kind of river. You know when healing goes through you. Jesus knew. It calls it virtue in the scriptures, but in fact, it's the healing power of Jesus Christ. And He felt it flowing from His spirit man through His mortal body into someone. And He turned and said, who touched me? And what He meant was, who pulled that healing from me? And then He turned to the woman when she confessed it was her. He said, woman, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. He didn't say, I chose sovereignly to do it, although healing will go through this. You'll understand by the scriptures, but healing is the sovereign will of God. But her faith pulled that healing into her physical body. And so that's why it's wonderful to know the scriptures, because it makes faith easier. It makes it easier to flow in faith when you're under attack. So tonight, what I saw as I prayed, God wants us to have scriptures and truth in our, what the Bible calls the belt of truth. And you know, there's been times, just because healing is God's will doesn't mean we don't sometimes have attack. Sometimes the enemy tries to attack God's kids with sickness. Sometimes sickness happens, sometimes accidents happen, and now you've got a fight on your hands. And so the Father wants you to know His will in this matter. And the belt of truth is super helpful, because let's say you're, you know, not feeling great. Let's say you're under attack. Let's say you're laying in bed. And I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking from times when I really felt, my emotions felt like, man, I think this is it. Man, you know, if I don't have a miracle, I'm not going to make it. That's how it felt in my body. I've had more than one time like that. And what I discovered is, if you have the seeds of the verses of God, Scriptures are like seeds. And when you put them in your spirit, man, they grow. And the truth in them starts to strengthen. The roots go deep in your spirit, man, and in your soul, and in your understanding, in your mind. That's a big deal to have the scriptures in you, not just people's opinion or, well, brother so-and-so said. I mean, brother so-and-so may be anointed, but I will tell you what really grows in your soul and in your spirit and in your mind and your thought life is a scripture. Put the scriptures in you while you're well and while you're sick. And by the way, there are some wonderful things out available on the internet that where you can listen to an hour's worth of healing scriptures. And man, I'll tell you, it's anointed to do, but you really want to have the scriptures in you, because then in a time of trouble, what you think of and what you default to is what's in your belt of truth. The belt of truth will save your life. The shield of faith will save your life. So I'm going to go through some scriptures, and it may seem like a lot. You know, we used to call this Bible Slam, you know, just like if you went to Denny's, you'd get the Grand Slam. And there have been some nights where we would do the Bible Slam because we wanted to just fill people with the Word of God and the truth of God so that those seeds take root. So I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. And a lot of these you know already. But John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." See, Satan is the author of killing and destruction. Satan wants God's children sick or dead. If he could have his way, because he wants to hurt God and he wants to stop you from doing God's will or being in God. The enemy wants people sick and dying. The enemy was behind the Holocaust. The enemy was behind the genocides that happened, for example, Rwanda. The enemy was, God would never, God is not that kind of God. The enemy is behind all sickness and disease. It's rooted him. Now, it may come through different channels, right? Sometimes a natural bacteria can harm you, but the foul bacteria came from Satan's kingdom, okay? Sometimes there's direct hits from the enemy. Sometimes there's indirect. Sometimes it may be an accident. Let's say someone gets an accident, they need healing. But all these scriptures still apply. God wants you well. He loves you and he cares about you. And this will, I will preach on this more than tonight. There will be probably a number of messages about this, because I feel like in this season, Satan is trying to take out God's people. And not just through COVID. We're getting a lot of we get a lot of prayer requests. Sometimes it's a lot. And to be honest, many of them have nothing to do with COVID, but we're seeing that the enemy's ramping up his efforts. So we need to ramp up our defenses and say, oh no, not me. We need to start praying for one another. Pray for the body. Pray for the partners. Pray for your leaders. If you have pastors and assistant pastors, pray for them. Keep them covered. So the enemy wants to cut short the life of the believer because he's afraid of their life in God. He's afraid of their fellowship with God, their oneness with God. The enemy knows also that it will hurt God to hurt his children. He wants to hurt God. He hates God. And he wants to hurt God by hurting his kids. You know, if you really want to hurt somebody, you would hurt their kids. Sometimes people are more affected sometimes people are more damaged by what's done to their children than by what's done to them because of their love for their kids. Well, God loves his children more than he loves himself, as we saw by the cross. He loved us more than his own self. Isn't that amazing? And so if the enemy can't take a child of God out permanently, then he wants them to be in depression or physical pain so that he can at least keep them bound from being able to find that place of oneness with God or relationship with God. And he doesn't want them to fulfill their purpose. God wants his children well, healed, and blessed. He loves you. He cares what happens to you. Even if you're not, doesn't matter if you're a great minister or a great evangelist, God cares about you. You personally. You know, God cares about every one of his children. He does have a purpose for your life. And I just want to say this in all capital letters. Your life matters. It matters to God. It matters to us. It matters to the kingdom. And in heaven, you'll be able to look back and see how important your life was. Things you said that you didn't even realize were a turning point for somebody. Things you did that you didn't realize, you thought of it as not a big deal, but in the kingdom, it turned someone's life to the right way. Your life matters. No matter who you are, it matters. And your health matters. Your health matters a lot. You can't help others if you're hurting or in pain, or if you're in physical or emotional pain. Satan's purpose in that is to get you turned inward. Because pain, man, pain is hard, right? Pain hurts, and it hinders us from being kingdom-minded, right? It causes us to be self-minded. It's just the nature of pain. Now, I'm just going to say something. You know, there's certain things that I believe God has shown me I'm supposed to do in this earth, and this earth is in a strange flux right now, isn't it? There's a lot going on. We see a lot with the enemy's camp, a lot with God's camp. We believe that there are great things God is going to do, but we can see, you know, the world is in a strange situation right now. And I am very aware, you know, God's been talking to me all my life about my life, and hopefully God's talking to you about your life. Whatever your relationship with him is and whatever your calling is. But for me, God made it clear when I was young that there were certain things I was to do before I went home, and that's important to me. Well, with the world in this sort of state of flux, I said to the Lord, I want to live for you. I want to spend my life for you. I want to fulfill every single thing for which I was put on this planet. And I need you to keep me in divine health from the inside out, head to toe, all the days of my life so I can finish what I was put here to do. And then you can take, when I've done what I'm supposed to do, you can take me on home, because heaven's much more attractive to me than earth is. But can you see why divine health is so important to fulfilling your call? Now, has God already provided that for me? Yes, in his word, he's already shed blood for me to have that. However, there is an enemy that walks about as a roaring lion, right? So to walk in divine health, we need to be making certain declarations. We need to be standing our ground. And our fight is not with God. It's with the enemy and with the sickness, okay? So, you may want to go back and refer to a teaching I did a few weeks ago. It was called Healing Was Purchased at the Cross. So just like Jesus died for your salvation, actually that whole word salvation means also healing. It means to be blessed in every way. But he also died for your physical healing, and it's very clearly spelled out in Isaiah 53. Now, I'm not going to reteach that, but I am going to read you the literal translation from the Hebrew. So if you read it in English, in any of the English translations, it loses some of the gist of what Jesus died for. So I'm not going to teach it, but I am going to read this literal translation of the Hebrew from Isaiah 53, and this will be verse 4 and 5, because I want you to understand that he didn't just die to redeem you and forgive you, or so that you'd live forever. He died for everything you'll ever need, but just this is just part of it. Okay, this is starting at verse 4, literal translation. Surely he has taken or carried our internal and external diseases, afflictions, calamities, and evil, and has borne the heavy load. He dragged himself along carrying our physical pain and sorrow of the soul. Yet we considered him to be stricken, hit, browbeaten, chastised, and killed under the judgment of God himself. Verse 5, he was profaned, pierced through and slain for our sin and rebellion, crushed, beaten to pieces, broken and shattered for our perversity, depravity, guilt, and crimes. The chastening or correction was upon him for our completeness, soundness, safety in body, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, tranquility, contentment, completeness in relationship. And with his wounds and the blows that he took, we are cured as by a physician, healed of distress and restored to favor. So you can see that Isaiah 53 means much more. I mean, and this is the definition. This was the mission statement. The whole chapter, actually, was the mission statement for Jesus' life. And Jesus actually quoted scriptures about himself, that these scriptures were fulfilled because of his life and his healing power. Amen. Okay, Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 23, but I'm going to read just part of that. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life, they are life, they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh." You know, so it's not just soul healing, although we believe hugely in soul healing, but this is talking about physical healing right here. And that the word of God itself, there's a scripture I don't have on my page, but it says he sent his word and healed them. His word was Jesus. And that's about physical healing. Okay, Jesus said, now listen to this. Oh, I'm sure you know these scriptures, but in the book of John, Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." In other words, in Jesus' mortal body, when he walked about, you know that the Bible says that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in him. So his mortal body housed all the fullness of the Godhead, meaning Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was all in his physical body. Now, what was he saying? He was saying, if you look at me, you're seeing the living manifestation of the Father. Isn't that amazing? So because we couldn't see the Father until Jesus showed up, we could see the Father through the scriptures, through the Old Covenant scriptures. We could see the images of the Father by faith in the Word of God, which is awesome and powerful and still contained healing already. However, now he comes to manifest and show the Father's will and to declare the Father to us. That's what he was doing. And that's why he talked this way. So he was here to show us God's nature, how God behaves, how God acts, how he feels, how God would act. Now think of this. The leper shows up, this man with leprosy. They weren't even allowed to be on the same side of the street as you. They were supposed to walk down the street yelling, "Unclean, unclean," because they didn't, you know, it wasn't for anyone, shouldn't touch them or talk to them, get near them, because the people were so terrified of leprosy. And yet the leper shows up to Jesus, says, "If you're willing, you could make me clean." And Jesus said, "I am willing." In other words, the Father is willing. And he touched him. He touched the leprous man and he healed him. See, that just wasn't done back then. It was just not done. And yet Jesus did it. And what he was doing was he was saying, "I am willing to heal you. I'm willing to heal you." He healed the sick. So think of this. He's representing or manifesting the Father, showing us the Father's will. And what did he do? Everywhere he went, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He never gave anyone COVID. He never gave anyone a sinus infection. He never gave anyone cancer. He never gave anyone AIDS, did he? That was the devil's doing. And Jesus made it clear. And in fact, Acts 10:38, one of my favorite scriptures, refers to how Jesus manifested the will of God. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So the two points you could take from that scripture, Jesus went about healing all, but they were oppressed of the devil. In other words, he was healing them of sicknesses that came from the devil's oppression. Now, I'm just going to say this. Some sicknesses, you know, all sicknesses are to be fought. We don't beg God to heal us. He's already paid the price for that. We take the enemy to task and we fight the enemy and we fight the sickness. And as we go on in this, maybe tonight and maybe in the next parts of the series, I'll go into how and be specific about how we fight. But remember, you're not begging God, you're fighting the adversary, right? When you make a declaration and when you quote the scriptures, what you're doing, a lot of what happens in the earth, you're not demanding of God. God has already provided for it. You're demanding the earth to come in line. You're demanding the enemy to come in line. You're speaking to your body. Mark 11:23, "Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." So do you have a lump, a cyst, a bump, a rash, speak to it. Speak directly to it. You have an enemy trying to harangue your mind, speak to that. And don't beg God, oh God, take this away. God has already paid. He's already done what he's going to do. He's purchased it for you to give you legal right, to give you legal right as a sovereign entity in the earth. Now, God is the one and only God, but he gave us a sovereign will, and we can lay down and take our lumps and take hits and get beat up. But I'll tell you, once I learned this, I said, I'm not taking that anymore. God's will is for me to stand, fight, and win. Not just to stand and fight, but to win. And so when I take authority using the word of God, I am backed by the scriptures, the will of God, and the blood of Jesus. So it's not Holly fighting the enemy. It's the Holy Ghost in Holly using the word of God, which lives and abides forever. In all of eternity, we will still live by the word of God. We'll still teach and learn the word of God. We'll still use the word of God. The word of God is alive and powerful. It is eternal. All of heaven and earth hangs upon the word of God. If the only word of God you're getting is through preachers, obviously I'm a preacher and it's good, but get the word of God in you. Get it in you. Get it in you so that if they ever take your Bible away, you've got enough in you that you can still win. See, because they can never take it. Once you've got it in you, they can't take that. They can't take away the scripture that you know. Can't take that. Hallelujah. So, let me just make a point here. When you're fighting with the enemy, some people, you know, who don't really believe the word yet, or they're still learning, still growing. We all grow and learn, right? And I remember being, I'll be honest, when I was young, I was very weak in these things because I didn't really know some of these truths, or I knew them up here, but I didn't know them in my, you know, gizzard, my mom would say. But now, as I've gotten older, some of this stuff has become so real to me. You know, it has, you know, once a scripture saves your life, you never forget that. When you're laying there knowing, you know, there's nobody else there to help you, you're alone, it's you fighting a sickness, fighting a devil, and it threatens to take your life. And up out of the Spirit of God, up out of that belt of truth comes one scripture, and it becomes life to you. And you begin to speak that scripture, I'm going to tell you something. And that scripture begins to take authority through the life and the power of God. And the power of God in that scripture, listen, the word of God is alive. And you begin to speak that thing, and all of a sudden, you can feel the fight shift. You can feel that whole wave shift. And you go from fear to faith, and you go from faith to almost like, I can't describe it, but almost like the Hulk, where you could tear, listen, you could run through a troop and leap over a wall. You can go for the jugular, with the devil. You can take him out, and he is suddenly terrified, and you can feel the shift, and your body starts to grow better. You will never, I'm telling you, that became a life-saving moment by a scripture, and you begin to know the power of the scriptures, and that scripture has become a pillar in you, and nobody can ever take it. There are some scriptures that I consider to be a personal friend. Romans 8 is a friend of mine, you know. There are some scriptures that are, I mean, all scriptures are life to me. But, you know, it's just like if a person were to come when you were, you know, on the verge of death and they were to save your life out of a situation, you never look at that person the same way. The whole of your life, you always remember, and I know because that happened to me. Someone saved my life once. I almost fell off a cliff. About a 3,000-foot drop of sheer rock. I was in the Grand Canyon, and we had climbed up to see some waterfalls. And I didn't realize it, but I was dehydrated. And we were on a very thin path. Sheer cliff going up and sheer drop going down, all rock. And I began to pass out. I began to brown out. And I started to faint. And my friend, who was with me, he was my canoe partner, and he grabbed my arms and slammed me into the wall. And if he hadn't, I would have gone over that cliff and I would have bounced off a zillion rocks and it would have been a goner. Do you think I've ever been able to forget that guy saved my life? I haven't seen him in many years, but I'll tell you something. If he ever needed something, believe you me, he could have it because he saved my life. You don't forget that. And what I'm trying to say to you is a scripture will save your life when it's touch and go and the enemy thinks he's got you. Mm-mm. God will give you a scripture if it's in you. God will raise up, and it's not the same one each time. That's what's so amazing to me about the life of God. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to live, and not just live, but thrive and have abundance and be full of joy and so full of power, so full of the glory of God that no devil can take you out. Hallelujah. Didn't mean to get on my soapbox, but I couldn't help it. Hallelujah. So now let's say that you're feeling weak or you're having pain and you need some help. That's okay. Call some friends, get some prayer going, right? But if you are doing well right now, don't forget right now is a season where the body of Christ is under attack. Pray for those who are in need. Spend some time each day praying for people. Hallelujah. Now, this is an interesting concept. You know that Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die. You know, one time years ago, I was in this little country church, and before the church service, they had this little, they called it Sunday school, but it was for adults, and there was probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 of us in there. The sweetest Christian people. And this lady said, you know, I don't understand that scripture. She said, it's appointed unto man once to die. But she said, Lazarus, he died twice. He died. Jesus raised him and he died again. How did that happen? And she was asking me, and I, under my breath, I quickly said, Lord, give me the answer. And this is the answer the Lord gave me. Lazarus died before his appointed time. The devil tried to kill him. Jesus said, oh, no, no. Not his time yet, raised him up. And by the way, if you look at it, you can read some of the history of what happened there, but people began to seek Lazarus out for his testimony. So Lazarus wasn't done. His appointed time wasn't yet the enemy took him prematurely. So let me ask you this. Have you ever known somebody that you felt like the enemy took them prematurely? It does happen. But our job and theirs is to say no. You can't take me out. I'm not going out. I'm not going out till I'm ready to go out, right? And we don't condemn anybody. Sometimes when people fight a long time, one of the reasons sometimes people go home early, and I totally understand this, is sometimes their fight is too long and they get tired and they just get to where they kind of want to go home. And when someone wants to go home, God will honor that, even though it maybe wasn't what he really wanted. But, you know, people get tired. I know, so I love someone very much. I have someone very close to me. Loved the Lord with all her heart. But her life was very hard in a lot of ways for a long, long time. And when she had to fight a prolonged illness, she just got tired. And she just said, I don't want to do this anymore. And she went home. And there were a lot of people saying, but we were in faith. You know, I understand that. But you know, she wanted to go home and God honored that. So yes, faith is a law, but sometimes when someone wants to go home, you know, we need to just, you know, we need to have faith. But if you had faith and someone died, don't feel condemned about it. We don't know the conversation they had with God, right? Hallelujah. Okay, now let me turn to Psalm 103 for a minute here. You ought to make friends with Psalm 103. If you're not, because it's just so awesome. I'm just going to read a little part of it, but it says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget his benefits. And now I'm going to list a couple of them. There's a whole bunch of them. You ought to read the whole chapter. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Wow. Those are some benefits God is saying. Don't forget, I paid for this. Don't forget, I forgive your sins. Don't forget, I heal your diseases. Don't forget it. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Crowns you with love and compassion. Satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Those are some good benefits. And he's wanting us to say, put that in you so you won't forget. So in time of need, you'll bring that to the surface. So it makes God happy and it glorifies Him when you walk in divine health. And He loves when you win a battle. He loves when you're healed. He loves when you say, no, enemy, you're not taking me out. You know, I'm not backing down, you back down. God loves that and it glorifies Him. But what also glorifies Him very greatly is if you walk in divine health all the time. God would love it if you never got sick through faith. Okay. Now, God gave me a picture as I was praying today. You know, sometimes if we don't understand the scriptures, we can see our fight as being with God, as though we're trying to get God to heal us or beg God to heal us or ask Him to do something. But that would be the same as begging Him to save us. Oh, God, please save me. If you know anything about Martin Luther, that's how he started. He would beg God to save him. You know, why don't you save me? I'm a sinner. Why don't you save me? But you know why he didn't at first understand that Jesus had already died and he had to receive by faith the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved, you received that by faith, didn't you? You believed that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that it was already done and that if you would receive it by faith, it's yours and no one can take it. You believed that because somebody probably told you the scriptures. Can I say to you, we need to look at healing the same way. The same cross, the same blood, the same torment, every disease known to humanity, every disease that was part of the curse of the law, which is every disease and every plague, I'll mention that in a minute, went on His physical body. It went on Jesus' body so that we don't have to carry it. And for us to beg God to give us that is like saying, do it again. He's saying, I did do that. I want you to receive it in the same way you received your salvation. Satan may come and say to you, oh, you're not saved. But if you know your scripture, you'd say, yes, I am. He would laugh in his face. You wouldn't even entertain the idea that you're not saved if you know the scriptures. And you could take him right to the scriptures. And no, it says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart, God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. I did, I do, and I'm saved. Shut up and go away. And it would be the end of the discussion because Satan would see that you know your scriptures, you've received it, and you're not backing down. But if the same devil comes and says, you're not healed, well, yeah, I do have a pain. I don't know if God healed me. Same cross, same blood. He did. Okay? And so you want to get so firm in your understanding of the scripture. Listen, faith, a lot of times faith comes through knowledge. A lot of times if we're weak in faith, that's because we don't really know what the scriptures say. Okay? So study up. Hallelujah. I diverted myself. So God showed me today that the earth, it might be like a boxing ring where there are two people fighting. One of them is the enemy and one of them might be a child of God. And the fight isn't between you and God to get God to heal you. God has made provision for you to win. And when you're in the boxing ring, God is behind you fighting you when you fight with the Word of God. Satan has no defense against the Scriptures. He sent His Word and healed them, right? The Word of God is a powerful, it's alive, powerful, listen to me, sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper than any battle. And so when you fight the enemy, first of all, the point of the boxing ring is the fight is between you and the enemy, not you and God. The fight sometimes, if you're praying for finances, I'm not talking about finances right now, but sometimes it's not to beg God for more finances, it's to speak and declare, use the word of God, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And you're actually speaking to the resources of the earth, right? Who should have them but the children of God to do the work of God? Shouldn't be the dumb devil and his clan. All they do is evil. So your fight is not with God. Your fight is with the enemy, and sickness is an enemy. Now, I'm just going to do this last bit, and then I'll try to quit. Sickness is part of the curse of the law. It is specifically declared in Deuteronomy 28. There's a long list of all kinds of sicknesses that are called the curse of the law, okay? The last line of that chapter says, every sickness and every plague is part of the curse. But in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So what did he do? He replaced every sickness and every disease. He did. He was made a curse, so he made an exchange in our behalf. Isn't that awesome, man? I hope you're at home dancing, because this is really good news. So I'm just going to say some quick things here. Here's a false thing that sometimes people say, that, oh, God made them sick for his glory. That's absolutely not true. Sickness never glorifies God. It glorifies the enemy. He says when the enemy's able to make someone sick, he says, I won. If he's able to kill somebody through sickness, he feels like he won, and it brings glory to his kingdom. A false statement is that God made someone sick to teach them something. Okay? Well, one dear brother explains it this way. If your neighbor was trying to teach his kids right from wrong, and to teach them he broke their legs, you would call the police and you would call it child abuse. And yet, people say God is doing that to his children to teach them. That's absolutely wrong. It's insulting to God. And by the way, one day I was driving in the car and I said, God, what do you really want? What's the desire of your heart? He said, I want to be vindicated. I've been lied about. My own people have said things about me and about my nature that aren't true. I want to be vindicated. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right, Jackie. I saw your comment. That's right. Here's another false statement. Well, God doesn't heal everyone. Jesus did provide provision for everyone, just like he provided provision for everyone to be saved. Everyone doesn't get saved, though, do they? Salvation isn't always received, but he paid for it. So it's not right to say God doesn't heal everyone. God wants to. He wants us all to receive Jesus. He wants us all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants us all walking in divine health. So just some simple logic here. If it were really God's will for you to be sick, then you shouldn't take medicine either, and you shouldn't go to the doctor either. Hallelujah. So I love you. God loves you. Hope this didn't come off as harsh. God wants you to know that he really cares for you, and he cares for your health, your soul health, your physical health, your mental health. He cares for your finances. He cares about you. And if God had his way, if we were wholly delivered and wholly set free and wholly yielded to God and wholly walking in the truth, we would walk not only in divine health, but in great power, in great joy, in love for God's people. We'd be helping people. We would be kingdom focused. We would look and behave a lot more like Jesus. And so Jesus wants us to know what he's really like, because he's who we're emulating, right? So, hallelujah, I love you, and God loves you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.